You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and radioreverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on radioreverb.com.
Leave it to you all.
Hello, today. How's everybody?
Hey, everyone. How are you, Sue?
Yes, I've still got my walking feet on. But we'll talk about that in a second. But you're feeling a bit sort of Tony, aren't you? Because you're still recovering from COVID, darling, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit butch. My voice is a bit butch.
Yeah. But you've still come on to
you, Josh.
Yeah.
You're feeling all right though. I'm glad you come on.
What about you guys?
I'm all right. Yeah, not too bad. I'm going to have a couple of weeks off next week. So moving. I'm actually moving next week.
Oh, good.
Sigh of relief.
At last.
At last. Everyone's got a sigh of relief. God, I'm
talking about it. We mean that in the best possible taste, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. It's been a challenge.
Yes.
Shall I go through it all from start to finish?
No, sorry, we got it. I think the listeners have got it.
Yeah.
I think so. Anyway, let's move on. How are you? Yeah.
Well, like I said, I've still got I was going to say I've still got my running feet on, but I haven't been doing any running. I've still got my walking feet on because I done the very first 10K walk for the town signatures, the Red Ribbon Walk in Brighton, and that was an enormous success, and it was so great. And it was funny, when we were walking, cars were beeping because we all had our logos on, and that was you know, they were waving and saying all of this, and that was, you know, putting the thumbs up. It was really, yes. And the great thing is the weather stayed nice, so
Some of the pictures looked great, Sue. Some of the pictures that I saw online, they looked as if it was real fun.
Yeah, but for the listeners that can't understand perhaps what Stephen maybe said, I did dress up in a Buzzy Bee outfit. And it's because of all my love of bees. And I thought, well, let's do it in fun. And I think I did. So, yeah.
Did in slingbacks, didn't you?
Yeah, bee slingbacks. No, you're joking. just about got round then 10K trainers, no mind.
So I came down, didn't I? And I did a bit of Vox Pops and I interviewed you and James Beebe, I think, isn't it? From Turn Singers. Just to talk about what it's all about, the Ribbon Walk. So we'll play that later for the listeners. How about you, Stephen?
Yes, just as always, lots going on, lots of new things coming in at the moment, so that's quite interesting. Just keeping busy. And the sun was out, and then it suddenly got very cold, so I was very happy for a week when the sun was out, but it's gone a bit chillier now, so I'm hoping that it's just a temporary thing, so...
Yeah, it's that time of year, isn't it? It's like up and down and round and through. And as my mum used to say, it doesn't go round you, it goes through you. it's a crafty wind.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, gosh.
Bless her. So we've got on the show. So we're going to play the vox pops of the Ribbon Walk from Sunday Sue, and then we've got some stories, haven't we? So what we took.
Yeah, I'm going to be highlighting some really fantastic. Yeah, I think it's quite groundbreaking. I know we've been talking about it for a while, but I'm going to be talking about the launch of the Optet testing for HIV and A&E in Brighton. So that's some really great news. I'm going to be talking about the press release that's come out today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And yourself, Stephen?
So I'm going to be talking about higher risk of cancer for Black men with HIV. And it obviously, it comes down to, it suggests radical, racial inequalities in US healthcare. So, that's a really, I found that quite an interesting read today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll be touching on the Ukraine war, which we've talked about, but just about how the war is disrupting drug supply and how it's affecting Russian people. People in Russia who've got HIV, because it's affecting them as well. So, touch on that. And a bit of community news. And so you're going to talk about the Weathering Hub, are you, Tony?
Yeah, sure. I can talk about Weathering Hub. I'm abseiling down Spinnaker Tower on the 23rd of April to raise funds for the Weathering Hub. And Dee, my little colleague, Dee, who I won't tell you her age, but she's got more gumption than I have. And it was her idea, so...
Great.
So we'll give the details later. That'll be good.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We have a song.
Yes.
Yes. So this is Benny Golson. I'm always dancing to the music. Ooh. And then we'll come back with the interview I did with you on Sunday. So.
Okay.
I start to dance with
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. I'm on location today. Yes.
Ooh, on location, location.
Location, location, location. So I'm at the very first Ribbon Walk, Terence Higgins Ribbon Walk, which is on Sunday, so it was last Sunday. It's a 5K...
No, it's 10K.
10K walk. So I'm with Sue, so she's participating. And it's the very first one to take place in the UK, so we're very honoured to be here. I'm at the Charles Street Tap just before they set off. I'm with Sue. How are you doing, Sue? How are you feeling?
Yeah, fine. I'm getting ready. I don't know whether you noticed, Josh, but I'm in a bee outfit.
I haven't noticed.
No, you haven't, but people say to me, why are you dressing up as a bee, Sue? Well, first of all, a bit of fun. And also, I love bees, and I don't know whether you know, Josh, but a bee will only sting you if it's in danger, because once it stings you, it dies. So I just love that theory, it'll only, you know, sting to protect yourself. So I love bees anyway. I thought, well, doing this 10K walk, the first one in Brighton, ever for the first time at the Terence Higgins Trust, they've got one on the 24th of April in London and another one in Glasgow. I'm not quite sure of those dates. But, yeah, it's great. And people say to me, Sue, why are you walking 10K?
Yeah, why are you walking 10K?
Why? Well, first of all, a couple of things. I want to sort of show people that you can live well and healthy with HIV. I'm also commemorating 16 years of living with HIV. So I thought that was something to mark. And to say, you know, and it's been a bit of a journey over the years. But also, you know, what we need to remember is, you know, many people live with HIV, Josh, that still struggle. Many people do not disclose, and they have other health problems and conditions. You know, and we, you know, the Terence Higgins Trust, you know, one of the things we're raising money for is to help and support people living with HIV, counselling and training and all those sorts of things. Yeah. So I think it's a super cause, especially in these current times.
Yes. So, and I suppose getting back after COVID, and we can get back together and do these kind of fundraising things.
Right, yeah.
So Terence Higgins, what they're fundraising for, is it for different projects?
Well, I mean, it's basically for, I mean, we do a lot, the Terence Higgins Trust, you know, support lots of different projects within the charity. One of the things they've recently done is to donate money to Ukraine, and that's to make sure they get the medication. Ukraine has got the highest prevalence of people in Europe are living with HIV, and a very high prevalence of children. So we want to make sure that, you know, they're getting the medication, and, you know, and as a HIV organisation, we believe it's crucial. So some of our funds are getting donated to Ukraine to make sure they get those medications in these dreadful times that they're going through.
It's a great way to do it, isn't it?
Exactly.
So can people still donate to this?
Absolutely. I mean, if anyone fancies donating to my page, you know, okay, we kick off, you know, we'll be doing the walk, but the page is still going to be open. I'll just donate to the Terence Higgins Trust, you know, but as I say, I'm proud and honoured to be walking alongside colleagues and friends that are actually also living with HIV, but also are not living with HIV, and they've got a passion of raising funds for this amazing charity.
And you've got a beautiful day today.
Oh my goodness, I thought we were going to be walking in hailstone and snow.
I thought you were going to do it in slimbacks.
I know, yeah. But no, I left them at home today, so hopefully the sun is shining, it's still going to be shining, and hopefully it's going to be a great, great day. Just a bit of a break from the
norm. Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. Okay, so I'm with James Beebe, who is the organiser of the fundraising for Terence Higgins Trust, director of fundraising for Terence Higgins. How's today going for you, James?
It's amazing. It's the first time we've done this.
Yeah,
we were hoping to do this 2 years ago, but obviously everything intervened. We couldn't get people together. And it's really lovely to see, you know, really nice group of people here on a beautiful day in Brighton. And they're all going to have quite a challenging walk, actually, because they've got a few of the hills to deal with.
So what's the importance about these walks?
So we've wanted at Terence Higgins Trust to do something for quite a long time now that gives people a way to get involved, not just asking people to give, but to come along and attend something, and that's something that feels like it's really part of the community.
Yeah.
And we know that lots of our supporters really enjoy walking, and so we're putting... this is the first time we're doing them, and so we're having three. First, this is our very first one in Brighton. We've got another one in Glasgow and another one in London. But the main reason to bring people together is because it's all about support for people living with HIV and those at risk of HIV. We've got a really clear plan at Terence Higgins Trust. We know that we can stop new HIV transmissions by 2030, so that no one in this country will be acquiring HIV after that. The difficulty is we're kind of in needle in a haystack time, so we need support for our plan to do that, and that's what it's about, involving the community, to try and make sure that happens. But we also know that there's a lot of people who are living with HIV who maybe aren't living as well as they could be, and it's about supporting our work to do even more for people who maybe aren't having the best time.
Yes, and it's so important to get that message across, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, particularly here in Brighton, of all the cities in the UK, Brighton has seen a hell of a lot of its people, go over the years, and a lot of people are living with HIV, and so Brighton feels like a really obvious place to bring it, and we know the community is really warm.
Yeah, it's 40 years of Terence Higgins Trust.
Yes.
So there's lots of things coming up.
There is. We're doing lots of things for our 40th. We talk less about it being 40 years of Terence Higgins Trust and more 40 years since the start of the AIDS crisis and the epidemic in the UK. It's 40 years since the death of Terence Higgins himself. So in many ways, it's not a time for celebration. It's a time to remember, and a time to remember people who are no longer around and the people who fought for people's rights and have done for a very long time, but also an opportunity to look forward. And I keep saying, for us to finish the job that we've started.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do by 2030, because nobody needs to be getting HIV anymore. There's plenty of ways to make sure that people are on effective treatment or on PrEP, and then they're knowing their risk and getting tested. And so, that's the big job we've got this decade.
Amazing thing to do. That's great.
Yeah, and so, it's wonderful seeing everyone here.
Yes, great support. Yeah. Thank you very much, James.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the HRB Hour, 97.2 FM, DAB and online, radioreverb.com. That was The Quickest Way Out. And the song was Thank You, Baby, for Loving Me, if you please. So it's just good stuff, isn't it, to listen to when these fundraisers happen and to get a personal situation and get to talk to people who are doing the room and get their perspective on it.
Mm-hmm. What I found, Josh, can I just quickly say, when I was actually doing the walk on Sunday, I had the absolute pleasure of just talking to people I hadn't even met before, and they were telling me why they were walking 10K. And there was one lady, and she was a bit my age or a wee bit older than me. She was telling me about some of the friends she lost in the 80s and 90s to AIDS, as it was then, and how she was just walking for them. And it was just so sort of inspirational, you know. And there was a nurse actually from Brighton who was actually doing the walk as well. He's a mental health nurse. And it was just amazing just to get other people's stories just walking in our lovely city of Brighton. So.
It was a great day, wasn't it? Weather-wise, was really good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. So you've got a story for us, obviously.
Yes, so basically we've got some really great news, not just necessarily in Brighton, but in London hospitals. I just want to reflect on a press release which has come out today for the University Hospitals in Sussex, and it's the Sussex County Hospital, will now be screened for anyone that goes into A&E for HIV. So it will form part of, you know, and I believe when people go into A&E, whether it's for an accident or something else, they run bloods. Now, we're calling it opt-out testing, and this is one of the things that we want to do in all hospitals around the UK, and it's going to be part of our strategy ending HIV transmission by 2030. So this starts today in Brighton, the 6th of April. So basically, anyone that goes into A&E at the Sussex County Hospital, unless they say so, unless they say, I don't want to be screened for HIV, they will just be automatically screened. That they'll be, you know, for all the other bloods that can be taken and screen all the other things as well. So basically, in some way, you can look at that as it's a way of normalising. And you know what? What's going to happen? We're going to be catching people you know, from marginalised communities, and that may even not even think that that they need to test for HIV. So in these circumstances, we could be finding people and, you know, get people on treatment if they do happen to come up to be HIV positive. You know, and it's estimated there are currently about 110 people living with undiagnosed HIV in Brighton and Hove. Did you know that, guys? So, you know, so in 2021, within the number of people seen by the HIV team at the Royal Sussex County Hospital, 50% of diagnoses were late diagnosis. So we really, really want to sort of put a cap on that, because we've got just too much information about HIV, you know, that shouldn't be happening. And this is going to be massive. And also the London hospitals in A&E, the same sort of strategy, you know, we're going to really sort of hopefully catch, you know, people that think they don't need to test for HIV, you know, from all communities. So it's a really great step forward to help us, you know, end that transmission. And you know what? It's so doable. It's so doable. And this is, again, let's just come back to Brighton. This is massive. You know, I talk about Brighton a lot and the initiative things that haven't even started in London yet, you know, like the vending machines, you know, we talk about the vending machine. I mean, when I talk about the vending machine, people say, oh my God, you know, so to say, and these are not just a vending machine. They're vending machines. They're the state of the art. Honestly, they're not just, you know, not naming the retailers, but these are the top-notch vending machines, you know, out of the ARC for HIV testing. And it's just amazing that Brighton is really at the forefront of trying to help end HIV transmission. So again, just to reiterate, you know, it's opt-out testing. So if you get taken into A&E for whatever reason, that means you would have to tell someone that you don't want to be tested for HIV.
Oh, right.
And,
so I was going to ask that question.
You're with me, yeah? So basically, they would have to, you know, I mean, this has gone out and all to the medical press and everything today. So, So basically, you know, people whose HIV is undiagnosed are more likely to become seriously ill from the virus and can't pass on HIV to other people while they are unaware of their condition. So we really want to get hold of that. And I think this is a fantastic step forward.
Yeah. It's normalising it, isn't it? Like, as you said, vending machines in different venues that you would expect to have vending machines, and it's just normalising testing and yeah, which is a good thing.
No, and it's, I mean, just going back to those vending machines, they're saying, you know, it's okay to take a test. It's okay to go to a vending machine and get condoms. It's okay to go to vending machines to get tampons and things like that. It's okay. These are the messages. These are the positive messages we're striving to do. You know, it's okay to take a test. It's okay to get a condom out of a machine and all those things that we naturally do, drinks and what have you. So it's just putting it par and par of normality. That's what we're striving for, at least.
Yeah, great.
That's great.
It's really want to watch. Yeah, want to watch. So, Stephen, have you got your story?
My story, yeah. So my story comes from Dallas, Texas, and it's two studies that have been done, and it shows that Black men with HIV have worse cancer outcomes than others. One of the studies showed that Black men with HIV have more than twice the risk of dying after diagnosis with Kaposi sarcoma compared to Hispanic men. And the second study showed that Black, gay and bisexual men with HIV experienced anal cancer at rates 2.4 times higher than other men. Though neither study pinpointed the reason for these disparities, both provide more evidence that Black people experience inequalities in the US, healthcare system. Now, radical disparities in the US surrounding PrEP, antiretroviral treatment and less consistent HIV care have been going on for years. And furthermore, Black, gay and bisexual men are more impacted by HIV than any other group in the US. Black men have been previously found to have higher incident rates and worse outcomes of Kaposi sarcoma and anal cancer. KS, which is Kaposi sarcoma, is caused by a virus called the human herpes virus 8. Though antiretroviral treatment has significantly reduced both incidents of mortality of KS, it remains one of the most common cancers in people living with HIV. Anal cancer is a disease which cancer cells are present just inside or immediately outside of the anus. While the incident rates of anal cancer are generally low, rates are higher in people with HIV. Dr. Sheena Knight and colleagues investigated racial and ethical differences in Kaposi sarcoma mortality, as well as the risk factors associated with death. The researchers reviewed medical records between 2009 and 2018 from a single hospital network that provides care to more than 6,000 people with HIV in Dallas, Texas. The cohort included 262 people with KS, both most of whom were men, that was 95%, and gay or bisexual, and that was 78%. The group was ethnically diverse, with about 35% Black people, 35% Hispanic, and 30% white people. Of the 262 people included, 81 died. The biggest risk factor for mortality of Kaposi sarcoma occurred in people in hospital for more than 6 months of the cancer diagnosis, and it carried a five-fold higher risk. People hospitalized once within 6 months who injected drugs both had nearly 2.5 times higher the mortality risk than other people. And Black people had more than double the risk, the mortality risk compared to Hispanic people. This is because Black people are diagnosed at more Black people are diagnosed with more advanced stages of the disease. For example, 65% of Black people had widespread lesions as opposed to localized, compared to 43% of Hispanic people and only 32% of white people. So it's very clear by those numbers, isn't it, guys? You know that there's a lot of work that still needs to be done to make sure that, you know, that everybody is getting equal and, you know, care for their HIV. And obviously also if they go on to get a KS, to also mm-hmm. have the same treatment, you know, equal treatment for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll have a track and then we'll come back and I'll say my story.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
So Sade, Paradise. We've got.
Oh,
I love a bit of Sade. Ooh.
Me too.
Feels fine.
Reverb. Brighton. Radio Reverb.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HRBL on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online, and you can also get us on podcast.
So, yeah, it's interesting when these stories, aren't they, from around the world. We're going to touch on Ukraine and Russia again because it's so prevalent at the moment, isn't it, in the news all the time. And I know they're struggling with disruptions to their drug supply. So,
yeah.
I'll read you the story. In basement shelters and makeshift clinics, Ukrainian doctors are striving to keep treatment for HIV-positive people on track as Russia's invasion raises fears that years of progress to combat the virus could be undone. Russian bombing and fighting has shuttered HIV clinics into two Ukrainian cities and forced others to limit their services. While the supply and distribution of vital antiretroviral drugs is also at risk. The war is making people with HIV more vulnerable to everything. And infectious disease experts say the war could unleash a public health crisis both in Ukraine and neighbouring countries in HIV, tuberculosis, hepatitis C and opioid addiction. I suppose the worry and the fear, isn't it, that just pushes people into more addiction or So research shows interrupting antiviral treatment can give rise to drug-resistant strains of HIV, potentially narrowing future treatment options, and also undoes the protection the therapy provides against transmitting the virus. So according to the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, military assaults and bombings have forced the complete closure of its clinics in the eastern city of Kharkiv, and the seaport of Mariupol in the south, which has been destroyed, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. The NGO, which provided treatment to about one in three people receiving antiretrovirals in Ukraine when the war broke out, said Russian military incursions have also limited the work of clinics in cities it's quite across the country. There is an incorrect narrative that nothing is working, says Donahoe from Copenhagen, where he is in regular contact with colleagues in Ukraine, adding that many people are still receiving their HIV medication, which is a good thing. But as international NGOs mobilise to send new supplies to the country, distributing them could prove to be difficult. The challenge will then be not only to bring them inside the country, but to dispatch these medicines to the various areas in Ukraine. I mean, one thing was, I saw this today, that WHO, the World Health Organization, are supplying Ukraine with HIV medication for the next 12 months, which is good. So I'll get this name right, Reshnevsky, who left the capital for the relative safety of Western Ukraine after Russian troops invaded the country in February, said she feared President Putin would seek to enforce the same punitive policies in Ukraine as he has in Russia. So a lot of people are afraid that that's going to happen, all those discrimination about gay people and people who have HIV. HIV awareness programs are often stymied by the effect of the country's 2013 gay propaganda law that outlaws discussion of LGBTQ matters with minors. So there's another Ruslan, a 42-year-old bisexual man living with HIV, who declined to give his surname or reveal his exact location, said he feared losing access to antiretroviral medication if he was drafted into the army, for example.
That must be a horrendous, scary time. I'm just thinking, oh my goodness.
Oh,
go.
Yeah, you've got the laws, haven't you? You've got the laws of it, and then you're trying to support your country, and but also what might come over if Russia takes over as well. So
it's not a good one. Yeah, it's a scary thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So this, you know, in Russia, there's about 1% of Russia's population of 146 million is currently HIV positive. So it's quite a lot. There's a lot. So that's 1,460,000 people in Russia.
Gosh.
Are HIV positive. So they're difficult obtaining drugs. So they all have the same things, won't they?
Yeah.
Getting the drugs and
Yeah. Here's an unorthodox question. Would we help Russian people to get their medication? Mm. Now, there's a question, isn't it?
Yeah. There's, I mean, the sanctions. Western sanctions and are resulting from the invasion of Ukraine are hindering Russia's mm-hmm. charities.
Yeah.
Mm. And they say it's getting worse. It's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think the Alan John AIDS Foundation, they do a lot of work there and mm-hmm. Help in Russia as well and probably Ukraine. And so they're finding it very difficult how to do it.
Just a scary, scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
What they must be going through at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's just the HIV side of it. It's not mm-hmm. even the atrocities that are being that are going on for the people mm-hmm. in the Ukraine. It's just scary.
And it makes us realize how lucky we are as well.
Very much so.
And to be blessed, are we mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah,
we're lucky. Mm-hmm. Just a few more facts. So I think we said in the previous shows that there's 260,000 people in Ukraine living with HIV. So it's quite a big amount, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have to keep an eye on it. Yeah.
Yes, I think we will. Let's hope things hopefully will get better, and we all have to hope and pray, don't we? I suppose.
Well, I think the I've forgotten his name, Stephen, the guy who came on the show last week, was it last week? Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, who's sending over mm-hmm. antiretrovirals. I mean, that's good stuff, isn't it? So all those projects.
Yeah, Dan Glass. So they're still Dan Glass. Yeah, mm-hmm. so they're still doing work to help get drugs over there and get aid over there in whatever way they can, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, shall we have another song and then we'll come back with some community news?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What we're going to have?
A bit of Candy Staton.
Young Hearts? Is it Young Hearts?
When you wake up tomorrow.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and DAB Radio. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
So we've got some community news.
Yes. What's happening with the Worthing Home, Charlie?
What's that, sir? Yeah, so the 23rd of April, myself and my little colleague Dee are throwing ourselves off the Spinnaker Tower in Portsmouth for the Worthing Hub. We're raising some funds so we can support those affected with HIV in West Sussex. So I will put the GoFundMe on the HIV Hour Facebook page and social media. And that's going well. Plus also we've got some amazing news from Gary at Lunch Positive. They've just been nominated for a Queen's Award for volunteering. And that's for an evening reception hosted by the Lieutenant of East Sussex. So that's brilliant for Gary and his amazing team. And also again for Lunch Positive, they are doing a first Saturday of every month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. is the Eastbourne Social Group. So that's restarting. So that's amazing news for Lunch Positive. So any other community news, guys?
I've got something. So on the 19th of May, at Halfway to Heaven here in London, there's going to be the second cabaret night for the UK AIDS Memorial. The first one was such a success that that we have decided to have another one. So, I will, once I've got all the details, I will put them on the Facebook page as well, so that you can get your tickets to the second cabaret night for the UK AIDS Memorial.
Brilliant.
That's great news.
Yeah,
it's going to be... Are they going to be hosting it online as well? So
I'm not sure.
So you can watch it if you're not well.
They didn't do it. They didn't host it online last time, Tony. But I'm sure okay. there's talks of it being done so that it's more accessible for everybody rather than just everybody that's there. So
I've got a bit of community news. At the Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton, 61 Ship Street, they've got a new evening surgery, which is PrEP to You, and that's a community sexual health service for people who wish to start using PrEP. It's on Thursdays between 4 and 7pm. You can make an appointment by calling 01273 664 200. That's 01273 764 200. PrEP to You aims to make accessing PrEP easier, especially for people who are unlikely to attend mainstream sexual health services. This may include people who are sex working, trans and non-binary people, people of colour, men who have sex with men, and people who have experienced stigma and discrimination in the past when accessing healthcare, including groups who face health inequalities and who are otherwise marginalised. But if you go there, you'll get a full HIV and STI screen, talking about PrEP, information and advice, signposting and referrals, condoms and lube. So again, to book an appointment at the PrEP to You patient, as a patient, call 01273 764 200. If you are not sure if PrEP is for you, but you would like to know more, you can contact them. They'll answer any, they're happy to answer any questions. And that's tht.org.uk, Brighton dash and Hull. Also, there's the, as we know, it's the 30th anniversary of the Sussex Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Bill Puddicombe, who's the executive director of the Sussex Beacon, and we're going to interview him for a future show. But this is a release from them saying that the charity has launched a series of community and fundraising activities commemorating the 30 years since the foundation stone was laid at its main centre. The Sussex Beacon was established in 1992 in response to a major need from the Brighton and Greater Sussex communities during the AIDS pandemic of the 1980s and 90s. Although the nature of care and support required has changed over the years, including people aging with HIV, the charity stresses that the need to provide support to people living with HIV remains as vital as ever. Originally functioning as a hospice to care for people at the end of their lives, the Sussex Beacon has seen its role change to now being a place where those living with HIV come to receive support, to gain their sense of independence, and to improve their health and well-being via both inpatient and community resources. So it's a well, it's a very amazing service, isn't it? The Sussex Beacon.
Yeah. And talking about the Sussex Beacon, the project which I co-lead, Positive Voices, where actually we've got a couple of sessions up at the Sussex Beacon there. One is on the 16th of April, and we're going to be talking to myself and another Positive Voice speaker is going to be talking some of the service users about our project and perhaps maybe how they can get involved, or about just necessarily just talking about perhaps, you know, finding your voice and just words of empowerment. We all need that at certain times, don't we? So, and then we're going up to the, I think next month in May, we're going to the, we've been invited to the women's group at the Sussex Beacon. So yeah, we're looking forward to it now. A lot of these faces are coming back up, so we're looking forward to that.
Right. So yeah, I'm talking about, I was considering doing the injectables.
Oh.
HIV injectables. So I've kind of found out a little bit more about it. I think it starts in April in Brighton, sure, around the country. But yeah, so you'll go on the, I can't remember the two drug names, but you go on the two combination as tablets to make sure that you're you don't have side effects for it.
Right.
And once you've been on that for a few, maybe I don't know how long, for a period of time, then you go on to the injectables, which is two injections in your buttocks. I'm just getting my head around that.
Yeah.
Get my head around my buttocks.
Is that one in each side, Josh?
Yes.
Be one in to keep the balance, is it?
I think so, yeah. So I've been to that, and I think the good thing is you go back and you go on a regular basis to keep checks on how you're feeling, and so I'll keep you posted as it comes on.
Yes, but, good.
You see me standing up.
Oh. we'll know why. Yeah. Yeah.
So, if you want to get in contact with the HIV Hour, you can contact us via email, and it's hivhour@gmail.com. You can also contact us via Twitter, and I'm just going to check what the Twitter code for that is, Josh. If someone
HIV_hour.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know, we're always looking for new people to come on, tell their stories, and perhaps even take part in the show. You know, this may be the year that you may want to perhaps venture to do something new you haven't done before. You like the way we're talking, you like what we're doing, come and join us. So there's an enormous invitation out there. So yeah, do get in contact with the show.
Yeah, and we've got the podcast as well, which is
the podcast, yes,
around the world, which is great.
Around the world, yes, not just in our lovely sunny city of Brighton, you know, where we've got earrings all around the place, so
which is great stuff, and we appreciate people tuning in, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, lovely show.
Yes.
I'm away for the next couple of weeks. I'm moving. As of
moving.
I'm on the move again. So yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, aren't we?
And I hope you feel better soon, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, look after yourself, Tony.
Yeah, look after yourself, darling.
Cheers, guys.
Will do.
And we finish with Let the Music Play by Barry White.
Oh my goodness, I love Barry White.
I know. Yes. Night, everyone.
No, you take care, everybody. Speak to you soon. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Let the music play. I just want to dance the night away. Here, right here, where I'm going to stay. Let the music play on. Just to feel, I feel this misery.
than the love we used to share.